Your morning starts now. It's the Q102 Jeff and Jen podcast, brought to you by CVG Airport. Fly healthy through CVG. For more information, go to CVG Airport /fly healthy.
Cincinnati's Q102. Jeff and Jen is 13 after 7, expecting sunshine today. See high temperatures in the upper 30s, maybe 40 if we're lucky. And right now it's 29 at Cincinnati's Q102. All right. Now it's come to this. We've started naming ourselves after dogs. Subtle red flags you need to look for in a job interview. And new hotel trends we're going to be seeing in 2021. This is interesting. I was reading an article about that over the weekend. We're reverting to the subscription model here. And it's really big with millennials. We'll have it all coming up. Straight ahead in your news that didn't make the news on this Monday, January 11th of 2021. Let's begin with our dogs. Did you get a dog last year? And if so, why did you name her Luna? A dog DNA company has released the results of their study on the most popular dog names of last year. And for female dogs, the name Luna was so big, people picked it almost 3 times more than the second most popular name, which was Daisy. And Luna isn't just popular for dogs. It's becoming a very popular name for humans as well.
That's John Legend and Chrissy Teigen. Their daughter's name is Luna. I love that name, actually.
It's a great name.
I think it's beautiful. And I do.
It was the 18th most popular name for girls last year, up from 22nd in 2019. And it's been gradually getting more popular since 1995. So the 10 most popular female dog names last year were, with Luna being number one and Daisy being number two, Bella is at number three, followed by Lucy, Penny, Stella, Lola, Piper, Ruby, and Willow.
So some great dog names.
Great dog names. 10 most popular male dog names last year were Cooper, Milo, Finn, Charlie, Tucker, Ollie, Bear, Max, Loki, and Moose.
I've ran into a few people who have kids that they use the name Finn for.
Finn. Yep.
Over the last couple of years.
Phineas.
Yeah. Yep.
We have a kid at our school named Phineas.
I love it when you get a real little dog and name it Moose.
Oh.
That's kind of my favorite.
It's cute.
I know.
Well, when you're at a job interview, the company isn't just trying to figure out if you're a good fit. You know, let's be honest, you're trying to figure out if they're worth working for, too. So there is a discussion right now on Reddit where people are sharing the subtle red flags in a job interview. You know, the little things an interviewer might say that give you a hint that the job isn't going to be amazing. And here are some of the best ones, all of which are pretty big giveaways that the job is going to expect big things of you beyond what they're paying you. Like this one here. Well, overtime isn't mandatory, but most folks around here stick around well after hours on most days.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think this one's for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's this. What clients can you bring with you?
That seems a little high pressure.
Yeah. It is an expectation, though. A lot of people, that's sure. Why they have all these, non-compete agreements in place to prevent you from doing that.
Doesn't it make you feel like they don't have enough clients to, you know, if
they're needing you to keep the business alive?
Yeah, that's what that kind of says to me.
My favorite is, you know, there's a lot of people who'd love to work here, so consider yourself lucky.
I worked for a place where they used that for the people that already worked there. You got a pay cut? Well, you know how many people are kicking to get through the door? Yeah.
That's only because they don't know what you're paying them here.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't like to watch the clock here. And, we don't want people who are just here for the paycheck. And number five, we're a family here.
we say that.
Yeah, it gets said around here a lot.
But I feel like it's true.
I agree.
Don't feel like, you know, I never, ever would have, and I've worked in a lot of different places, I would have never said that about any of my other jobs.
Well, you know, though, for somebody coming in, though, that might be a little bit like if there's someone that wants work to be work and life to be separate, they just want to come in and do their job and go home. That might feel like, oh, crap, what kind of obligations am I going to be expected?
Is there going to be forced socialization?
Is it going to be difficult for me to do my job the way I want to do it?
The way you want to?
You know, without having to spend all of this time with all of these people that I may or may not really
connect with.
Familial. Yeah.
Well, I remember when Freddie Mac was interviewing for the job here in afternoons, and, you know, they were kind of taking him around the building, and, you know, I guess he had made a couple trips out here, and I guess they were introducing him to other members of the staff, and was it in here at one point, like, you know, we had said, we're kind of like family here, which is true. I mean, when you work any place long enough, and I would agree that the dynamics of our relationships, at least here in this studio, are very sibling-like.
Oh,
and I would
100.
Say that extends beyond the studio. But it's not like we spend holidays together, you know?
I remember saying that to him, and he goes, everyone keeps saying that.
Right.
We're like, oh. Like, we felt
and
like,
everybody has
so,
different.
I felt like it was true.
Well, everybody has different, you know, family dynamics, too.
Yeah.
Like, we're like family. My family's very different than your family.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Whose definition of family are we going by?
I would
here?
Say this is so, brother. For me, the three of you, I talk to you more than I probably do my own family.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We spend more time together than anybody else, probably.
Very brother and sister, especially like the picking and the little
the poking.
Yeah. The buttons we like to push.
Yeah.
But with rare exceptions, it's not like we're hanging out together outside of work all the time.
Other than tonight.
Hey.
Yeah.
But it also like it's like we're very like we could it to me it feels very brother and sisterly because we can pick on each other, but if someone else picks on you, like I'm ready to kick their ass.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah. Seriously. That's how I kind of define it. And I feel that way about you guys and other people that work here.
Yeah. What else do we have here this morning? Let's talk about retirement here for just a moment. You may be many, many, many years away. Let's say you had $1 million in the bank. How many years could you ride it out without ever working again? $1 million in the bank. Now,
$1 million.
Now, a lot of that is going to depend on, I suppose, how old you are and how many years you have to make that money last.
Well, and how you live,
how too. You live, of course. New report looked at cost of living, housing, health care, and a bunch of other statistics, and it ranked all 50 states according to how long it would take to burn through $1 million if you retired in this country. So they broke it down by state. Now, the cheapest state to retire in the U.S. is Mississippi, where $1 million could last over 23 years, provided you don't live like a rich person, a crazy
person.
That's
the thing, too, though. You see, you don't know how long you're going to live. You know, you 23 years, man, when you're 60. That might be like, hey, I don't think I'm going to make it to 83. Let's go ahead and retire now and enjoy the rest of it. Then what happens if you live to 100?
Well, I suppose they're probably basing this on the average life expectancy and the average age people retire. And, you know, when you round the numbers, your best likelihood of making that money last the longest is in Mississippi, where $1 million could last over 23 years if you play it right. And the most expensive state is Hawaii, where you could only make it about a decade. But the 10 states where $1 million goes the farthest are, with Mississippi being number one, Oklahoma right behind it at number two, followed by Arkansas, New Mexico, Kansas, Missouri, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, and Michigan. They're all between 21 and 23 years. The states where you would burn through that money the fastest are Hawaii, with 10 years and 3 months, California, just over 14 years, although there are much more rural parts of California that you will spend less. New York, 14 years and 3 months. Oregon and Massachusetts, you'd be able to probably swing that just over 15 years as long as you're in the more rural areas of Massachusetts. Everyone's favorite retirement state of Florida was actually in the middle of the pack. $1 million there would last about 20 years, which was good enough to put Florida in 26th place. That is assuming you're lucky enough to have amassed $1 million by the time you're ready to
and you're living that, so that means you're living on $50,000 a year.
You're living a modest lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you can make it work.
I mean, what are your needs, though? That's my question. What do you think you need?
I've heard a lot of people who have retired say that their want versus need ratio significantly changes after retirement, because when they're not working anymore, they find that they things that they thought they needed, they really just wanted, and they want them less after retirement.
Mm-hmm. Are you going on bigger vacations? Like right now you feel the need to take a big vacation.
Right.
But if you're retired,
you might want to do more of that when you're retired.
You might want to do more of that after you retire, but many retirees say that without the pressures of work, they don't feel the need to travel.
Away.
Yeah.
Well, you know, your wardrobe, you're not going to be buying, not going to be buying the shoes you were buying while you were working.
Plus, you'll still have this sweater in 25 years.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Absolutely. I've stockpiled. I got enough clothes to get me through the rest of all sizes.
Rest of my life.
It all depends on how you play life. I know a lot of people who denied themselves vacations and they denied themselves fun things while they were working because they were putting that off until retirement. You know, I'm going to work really hard now. I'm going to be a workaholic. And someday when I get to a certain age, if I'm lucky, if I'm still around, I'm going to travel. I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing. And other people try to find that balance where they do it now. And other people did it while they were young. And, you know, I know a guy who just retired recently. He doesn't want to leave his home in Arizona. He's good to just stay put right where he is.
Yep.
We're going to take a break here at 7:25 with Jeff and Jen, Cincinnati's Q102. Coming up straight ahead, new hotel trends in 2021. As the travel bug is hitting a lot of people, especially who have been in lockdown for as long as we have.
My kids don't even think you need to study anymore. They're like, Dad, if you need to know something, you just Google it. But I try to tell my kids, I say, yeah, you can Google a lot of stuff, but there's a lot of things you only learn through living life. You can't Google them. And I call them the facts of life, things you can't Google. Like this, fact of life. If you are trying to get to the bathroom in an emergency situation, it is not a wise idea to unbutton your pants in transit in the effort to save a couple of seconds. Because the muscles that guard the floodgates will interpret the unbuttoning as the signal to abandon their post. And the 2 seconds you saved on the button are nullified by the hour and a half you spend mopping and doing laundry. And Google won't tell you that. Fact of life, out of all the cereals, Captain Crunch is the most time intensive. Here's what I'm talking about. You eat it too soon after you pour the milk on, and you will rip the roof of your mouth to shreds. You wait too long after you pour the milk on, and the captain will put a film on your teeth a wire brush can't get rid of. Google won't tell you that.
Comedian Jeff Foxworthy with Jeff and Jen, Cincinnati's Q102. Valentine's Day is going to be here before you know it. And who says you have to put chocolate in a heart-shaped box for Valentine's Day? It's a weird time right now. I suppose you might as well get weird with this, too. Jack Link's beef jerky.
Oh, yeah. We eat that often. It's in the red bag.
Yeah, they're selling a heart-shaped box filled with beef jerky for Valentine's Day this year.
Done. Where do I find it? My boyfriend would love that.
Target.
Okay, I'm in.
The box itself is covered in brown hair.
Fun.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like Chewbacca style.
Well, they always have the Sasquatches in their TV commercials.
Yeah.
The Bigfoot.
Hmm. Yeah, so look for that.
Oh, that's cute. It does kind of look like Chewbacca hair.
See?
Oh.
Oh, how cute. I was actually over the weekend because we took down our Christmas tree. Finally, we were those people that held out. But we took the Christmas tree down over the weekend and our kid was kind of like, well, what do we decorate for now? I'm like, I guess Valentine's Day. So we went looking for decorations and all of the Easter stuff is out. Like nothing Valentine's Day.
Valentine's is already over and done.
It's already 30% off.
Yeah. There's some pictures out there going viral of this woman that does Valentine's tree and Easter tree and St. Patrick's Day. Sitting there and I'm going, she stole it.
Yes.
We've been doing that for a decade.
She does like a whole outfit tree ensemble, and that's like her whole thing.
She poses, she dresses up and poses. She did some beautiful trees.
She did. I thought her 4th of July tree was incredible.
Really, really, really nice. So that's something you can do.
I thought about that.
Somebody tagged me on it. It's on my page. You can find it.
I thought about that, and even Scott, my boyfriend, suggested, like, well, we could leave the tree up and just decorate it accordingly. And I'm like, I don't know. There's something about having the living room back in order, like our formal living room, like back in its little, you know, togetherness.
You may want to find a smaller tree somewhere if you want to do the holiday tree,
the year-round thing. We went to Kroger yesterday, and that's where all of their Valentine's Day stuff was 30% off. And we bought like one of those vinyl tablecloths that has, it's like little hearts all over it with like the little emoji faces.
Mm-hmm.
And I put that on our kitchen table. And then I bought her some of those little emoji window cling stickers with like the heart eyes and stuff. And so she put that up and we were done.
You're good to go.
That's our decoration.
Looking at this story here, I'm wondering, why did it take until 2021 to turn the best cereals into ice creams? An Instagram food account called Candy Hunting just found two new ice creams on sale, Fruity Pebbles and Cocoa Pebbles ice creams. And don't ask me where to find them because I do not know. You'll have to, go on Candy Hunting on Instagram to find out, I guess. No word yet on which stores are going to carry it. But look for Fruity Pebbles and Cocoa Pebbles ice cream.
You did that, Jeff. Speaking of people that were ahead of the game. Jeff was ahead of the game when he was putting Fruity Pebbles on all of his Froyo back in the day.
I love it. Still do. Every now and then I go to Yakult. I just get a plain because I'm really boring.
Mm-hmm. All right.
What toppings would you like? Just Fruity Pebbles, please. And thank you. 9 News consumer reporter John Matarese is joining us. So you don't waste your money. That is, if you can even get your money. Hey, John.
Hey, Jeff and guys, and good morning. Oh, boy. I tell you, it is so frustrating for a lot of people. How about you, ladies? Because so many people say, well, I'm supposed to get that $600 check. Where is it? It's been a week and a half, and I don't have it.
Because it was supposed to be easier this time around since they all had everyone's account numbers. They were just going to make a direct deposit, and that would be the end of it, yes?
Yes, exactly. This was supposed to be the easier stimulus check. You know, back in April, it was a nightmare. People didn't know where to find it. It went to somebody else's bank account. They had to wait 4 months for it in the mail. Well, they said they had it all figured out. They're going to put it in your bank account, and everybody should have had it New Year's Eve, basically. And so many people, we're talking millions of people, still don't have that $600 stimulus check. Well, it turns out that there was a big, big goof up, and no one's quite sure who's responsible, but the IRS ended up putting millions of these checks into tax preparers' bank accounts, and many of them went to H&R Block and TurboTax. So if you filed through H&R Block or use their online tax filing service, or you filed through TurboTax, and TurboTax is the number one tax filing service, there's a chance that you still have to wait on your check because it went to the wrong bank account.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah, just crazy. Because what happened was it went to an account that TurboTax had, and it's sitting there. And now TurboTax and H&R Block have to then figure it out and get the checks
reset out. Oh, that's horrible.
Out.
Well, what a pain in the butt for them, too.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. You can't get through on the phone because everybody's calling the IRS. Everyone's calling TurboTax and H&R Block, and just a real nightmare there. You thought they would have had it right this time?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Oh, no, not this time. And on top of that, a lot of people who got the checks last time are not getting them this time. That's a real disappointment for people, you know, who are counting on it. And the reason is they've lowered the income threshold. Back in April, the income threshold was $99,000 a year for a single person. So if you earn less than $99,000 a year, you got a stimulus check. And those were big checks, too, $1,200. This time, the check is half of it. It's $600. But they lowered the income threshold to $75,000. So a lot of people who earn, like, you know, $78,000 a year, they're like, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you think, well, that's a lot of money. You know, you make you make $78,000, $80,000 a year, you don't need a stimulus check. Hey, you know, if you've got a house and three kids, that's not a lot of money anymore.
Sure, yeah, especially if you're living near a city or whatever.
That
can
be
really hard
to live on.
So a lot of people haven't gotten the checks, or they're still going to have to wait another few weeks for their tax preparer to give them the checks, and that stinks because you know. You want to take that money and buy that PlayStation 5.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing with the money, John?
You know, I tell you, from what I'm hearing from people, most of them are using it to pay off their Christmas bills.
I'm sure that's true.
Right now, you're getting those credit card bills, and it's like, whoa, you know, how much for all those gifts? And you get that $600. It sure helps pay for those extra bills real nicely. If you get it,
yep.
When you get it. Hey, as I always say, guys, don't waste your money.
All right. Good talking to you, John, as always. We'll see you tonight on 9 News at 5.
All right. Great talking to you guys.
Take care, John.
Take it easy.
Thank you, John.
Thanks for listening to the Q102 Jeff and Jen Morning Show Podcast, brought to you by CVG Airport. Fly healthy through CVG. For more information, go to CVG Airport / fly healthy.